Turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 1. First chapter of John. And read it, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might be saved, might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now the third chapter, please. John chapter 3. And verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now chapter 16 of John. Reading at verse 7, the words of the Lord Jesus. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. The Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples of his death. For if I go not away, the Comforter, a title belonging to the Holy Spirit of God, he will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now look in the next book, please. The book of the Acts in chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Verse 25. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, that is, I am not the Christ, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Now there is one final passage I wish you to notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 8, speaking about after that the Lord Jesus has removed the church from the earth, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. They should believe the lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now I would like to link these scriptures together very simply by the thought of things that God sends to men. In our first reading we read that God sent a servant. He sent a man. John, it is written, he is a man sent from God. Then we read in John chapter 3 that God sent his Son. What a marvel that is. God sent his Son. Then we read the words of our Lord Jesus concerning his going into heaven when his work on earth was finished in salvation. He said, I will send the Holy Spirit. And so God has sent into our world, and he is presently in a gospel meeting like this, a divine person, the Holy Spirit of God. Then we read concerning the preaching of the beloved apostle in Acts chapter 13. To you is this word of salvation sent. God has a message that he's sending to mankind, a message that is to be preached by men to their fellows, a message that's sent to sinners whereby they might be saved. And finally, we read a very solemn word concerning all them that will not believe the truth of the gospel that's being preached today. God will send them a strong delusion after the door has closed and the Savior has removed the church from earth. They will come over those that believe not the truth, sent right from God, a judicial blindness, that they will believe the lie of the Antichrist, that they might be damned. And so, my friend, it is a very solemn thing to be in this meeting tonight. You are hearing a message that is sent from God, for mankind, like us, like you, like me. There was a time when I sat where you were sitting, and the message came home to my heart. And there were times when I left the gospel meeting, and there was perspiration on my brow. The message struck home. I didn't receive it. Not until a Sunday night, sitting alone in my little bedroom, anxious regarding my soul's eternal welfare and the desire to be saved from going to hell and sure of heaven. And sitting alone upon my bed, that night I received the message. Thank God. God graciously sent it again. And I saw through the little message of Romans 5 and verse 6, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And that night I took it in. And God is always as good as his word. He gave me salvation as a free gift, sitting right there in the side of my bed. My friend, tonight, I'm glad I'll never know the solemn day that's coming when God will, in his sovereignty, he will judge man by sending them blindness because they have received not the truth today. And so it is solemn that you are here, and I hope that you are sobered by what you have heard and what you will hear in closing this meeting. I sincerely trust, friend, that it will lead you to look away from yourself and look to the Lord Jesus for the salvation you so urgently need. He's the only one that can give it. First of all, I want you to think of God sending a servant. He sent a man. Sometimes God sends men. One thing that is always the joy of a gospel preacher is that when gospel meetings are over and we pack our bags to go home, it's nice when someone will come along and say, I'm glad God sent you here. My, I want to tell you, friend, that's what gospel meetings are all about. Gospel meetings are not simply an activity of mankind. They are a definite visitation by God. God sent a man. A man sent from God. And I hope tonight, my friend, that what you have heard in this meeting, you will recognize that man had a message from God for me. That's what John had. You know, John's message was twofold. First of all, it was a message of preparation. It was like the farmer that goes into his field in the springtime, and he puts the plow into the ground. He turns over the sod. He's preparing it. There's no sense sowing that field with corn or wheat before you've plowed it or knifed it and cultivated it. That's senseless. You may get an odd sprout here and there, but you're surely not going to reap a harvest. There must be a preparation. And that's why God has servants. Not only man. God has his servants. It may be that under the windshield wiper of your car, you found a little gospel paper, and you took it and you read it, and there was something about it that touched your heart. God sent his servant. That's what it is, friend. And it just may be that while standing soberly with tear-brimming eyes at a casket of a loved one, a thought stole into your little heart. If that were me, where would I be? God sent his servant. Let me say kindly but very soberly to you tonight in this meeting, I have absolutely no doubt that God has caused his servant to cross your pathway. These meetings have been sent by God. There's abundant evidence of that. Precious souls have come to realize it, and they've come to know the Savior in this very building. And the fact you're here, friend, is no chance. The God of heaven loves you, and he longs that you might be the recipient of the great purpose of his heart in salvation. And he sent a servant across your pathway. Maybe it was a friend that invited you here. Maybe a relative that's kept on the phone at you. Maybe it's just a mother or father, and you saw them bent by their bed and heard their sobs before God, and it touched your heart and brought you to the meeting. God sent his servant. He's putting the plow in. That's what gives men concern in meetings like this. That's what it is, friend, like Mr. Oliver has been mentioning to you, that makes you uncomfortable. What is it? God's servant putting the plow in. God's preparing the field. Why did God send John the Baptist? Because he wanted the people ready to receive the Lord Jesus. My friend tonight, let me say to you, the Bible is filled from Genesis to Revelation with the great outpouring of God's infinite heart of mercy and desire and love. He wants heaven filled with men. He wants you to be there, friend. We can tell you with every confidence. And it's God's desire. And the reason and the evidence of it is, he sent his servant. He sent John to prepare the people. Now mind you, the people didn't like the preparation process, don't you ever think? They didn't like John's preaching. Now, I qualify the word process. That is very simply the fact that when John preached to them and he put the plow in, he began to turn the sod. They didn't like what they heard. And they didn't like what they saw exposed. They didn't like their sin exposed. And they didn't like the depths of their thoughts exposed. And they didn't like to be convicted of their deception and their hypocrisy and their pride. And when the plow was put in, it hurt. But I want to tell you, friend, there will never be any joy in God's salvation in any man's life until he knows the experience of the plow. That's God's way. Why, the Lord Jesus told one time about the sower in his field. He said he went out to sow his seed. Some fell on the wayside. Why, that's where the farmer walked. The plow was never put in there. He said the birds came along and took it away. He said some other seed fell into stony ground, and it had no root. It had not much earth. The plow hadn't gone in there. You see, it was just broken up, just where the old weeds were. The Lord Jesus said it fell among thorns. The plow had never turned the thorns over. But, he said, some fell on good ground. It had been plowed up. The man had been over the ground. He'd been over it with the harrow. Oh, is there a sinner in our little meeting tonight? And God's been over the ground with you. And he's touched your heart. And he's stirred up your conscience. And your sins are definitely a burden to your conscience. You recognize that you're not ready to go into eternity. You have nothing to keep you out of hell and nothing to take you to heaven. God has sent his servant and struck your heart. My friend, let me say to you, his purpose is to bring you blessing. But God's servant John, he had another work to do. We read of it here. It says he was sent to bear witness. That's the work of the servant. The servant has no power in himself. And the gospel preacher has no power, friend, to meet your need. We could never stir up an anxious thought in the heart of an individual. Pardon me. We can't do that. We have no power within ourselves. While there might be a message that does it, it's the Word of God and the work of the Spirit that does that. But my friend tonight, Our work is to bear witness, to be able to tell you what God says, to give you a message that comes from God. And what you do with our witness is between you and God. That's what the people failed to see when John preached, you know. Why, the one man took his head off at the end of it, decapitated him. It didn't like the message. Silence the messenger. Oh, my friend, I hope you will not stifle the messenger's voice. I hope that you will recognize that you are accountable to God for what you're hearing in this meeting tonight. God's word has been brought to bear on your conscience. There's been a messenger sent from God, and it's touched your heart. And God's word has made your mind and heart tender, and it's touched the tender point. And it hurts when sin is spoken of, and when eternity is mentioned, and you try to stifle it, and you put it away. The people that did so never received a sinner's Savior. Never. A man sent from God. Do be wise tonight, my friend. The witness of divine truth is to point men to the Lord Jesus. That's what John was doing. He was not the light, but he bore witness of that light. The Lord Jesus, friend, pointing men to the great Savior of sinners. The only hope for us poor, dying, miserable sinners that we are is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our work. That's why we're here, friend. And we're neither looking for frown nor for favor. We want to see men pointed to Christ. We'd love to see you realizing the great purpose of God through the gospel, the very reason that you're here tonight. God sent His Son. God sent His Son. My, I love those words in John 3. John 3 is a very precious chapter, of course. Many, many, many souls have come to see the great work of the Lord Jesus on their behalf and to trust the sinner's Savior from reading the truth of John chapter 3. What a lovely chapter it is. In verse 17, we read those words. God sent His Son. My, I love the majesty of those words. You know, we sometimes wonder, don't we, when we think of the heavens being filled with angels at the birth of the Lord Jesus in Bethlehem. And we think of the great multitude of angels that came and those shepherds on the hillside and the angels bore them the message, glory to God in the highest. Why? On earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Why, friend? Because God sent the Son to speak of the eternal God, touch the sands of time. What a marvel. What a marvel. Has it ever brought marvel to your heart, friend, that God sent His Son? But I want to tell you as quickly as I can, friend, something that ought to bring a greater marvel to your heart and mine is why He sent Him. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, what unfolding, what unveiling there is of the heart of God in the great coming of the Lord Jesus out of glory, becoming incarnate, born of the Virgin, brought forth at Bethlehem, in keeping with the mind of God, to fulfill divine purpose. God sent Him. In John 3:16, I find why He sent Him. He sent Him because it was the only way His love could be expressed. The only way, friend. God could never tell you and I how He loves us apart from giving His beloved in the bosom of the Father an unequality with the Father and the Spirit in every aspect of deity. And behold, He comes out of the heavens to be born in true humanity. A babe. He's born of an earthly mother. There in Bethlehem, lying in the arms of dear Mary. He who upheld the universe by the word of His power. God sent His Son. And friend, in that little babe in the arms of Mary, we see God is going to unfold and unveil His heart in that very person. And as you follow the person of the Lord Jesus,
through his ministry, and you listen to his teaching, and you behold the wonders of his power, and you follow his footsteps so faithfully away to Calvary's cross. My friend, every footstep and every syllable that came from his holy lips and every work that was wrought by his holy hand was unfolding God's heart. My friend tonight, the God of the Bible has a heart of love, unmerited love for sinful, sin-loving, dying men, ruined in the race of Adam under the curse, dying in their own misery, filling the earth with the wails of broken hearts, filling the jails with men of broken character and women, and filling a graveyard with the dust of the lost. In death, sin has taken its toll, and into that scene there comes the Son of God, sent by the Father to meet the need of dying sinners. Oh, my friend, may I say to you, as you listen to the Savior's utterings from Calvary's cross, as you listen to the groans of the Savior in his agony upon Golgotha's tree, you're getting a little glimpse into the heart of the infinite, the heart of the God of eternity. And listen, friend, listen tonight. Every drop of precious blood that flowed from my Savior's wounds, and every pain that racked that holy body, and every moment of shame and reproach that was laid upon that lovely face, and the cloud of thorns that adorned that majestic brow, every groan and every tear was dedicated to you. Expressing God's heart, God sent his Son, that the world might not be condemned, but that the world might be saved. Oh, my friend, tonight, God sent his Son on your behalf. Mystery and marvel of great love. But we can tell you with an open Bible, God sent his Son for sinners. And my friend, in the meeting tonight, Calvary was on your account. Calvary was a divine plan that opened the door to glory and opened the fountain of cleansing for vileness and sin and uncleanness. And the only possible way it could ever be done is for God to send his Son. Blessed be his name, he came. And the work is done. The work that saves the vilest of sinners is absolutely sufficient. Done by the hand of the Son of his Son. That God sent his Spirit. There is a divine person in our world tonight. A divine person. He is not obvious to the human eye because of the limitations of our humanity. But I want to tell you, friend, he makes his presence felt. He makes his voice to be heard. The Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus said, when I go to heaven, I will send him. And he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. May I say to you kindly, friend, that battle that's going on in your soul tonight is the work of the Spirit of God. A divine person that you're dealing with, dear young man in the meeting, a divine person has touched your heart. Be careful how you deal with them. When the Son of God was here, men spit on him. They refused him. They rejected him. And I wonder if there is not a sinner in this meeting, perhaps a young man or a young woman, and God the Spirit has moved towards you, touched your heart, with the purpose of bringing you to the Savior. Have you despised him? The Bible tells us that he may be resisted. And the Bible reminds us that he will not always be at the work that he is presently doing tonight. The day of his work will close. As far as you are concerned, it will close. A divine person. Be careful what you do with that voice, young woman, young man. Be careful. That voice within your conscience, within your soul. He, the Spirit of God, I will send, and he will convince the world of sin,
I must close the meeting, but I do want to remind you that God has sent a word of salvation. He sent it to mankind without discrimination. Thank God. That's the truth of John 3:16. It's for whosoever. To you is this word of salvation sent. I wonder, my friend, when you have heard the message of the absolute sufficiency of the work of the Lord Jesus to satisfy divine claims against our vile sin in all their enormity and in all their criminal character. Thank God for the value of the blood of Christ. It is answered to heaven for man's vile sin. It is answered to heaven for man's salvation. And my friend, the word is sent to you tonight that God has accepted that work. God has accepted the work that Christ has accomplished. God is satisfied right now on account of man's sin. And he's sending to the sinner the word of reconciliation, the word of salvation, the word of eternal life. And what you do with that word determines what God will do with you. My friend, tonight, let me say to you kindly, if you were to take the word of the Lord Jesus in the language of John 5:24, tonight you could leave this building with the precious scriptural assurance, my soul is saved, my sins are gone, Christ is mine. Listen to the Savior's words, he that heareth my word and believeth God that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, my friend, may I say to you kindly, to you is this word of salvation sent. Oh, don't despise it. We appeal to you in the light of an unchangeable eternity. If you make a mistake, or if you trifle a moment too long, or if you despise for one reason or another the word of salvation that is sent to you, you will perish for eternity to regret the moment that you turned your back upon the divine plan for your salvation and miss Christ to perish forever. Oh, friend, tonight be wise. God has sent you his servant that you might hear the message that would open your heart to receive the word of salvation that you might be saved. He sent his son to purchase salvation, to prepare the greatness of the forgiveness of sins, to pay the ransom that the sinner might be redeemed. He sent his son, thank God. He sent his spirit to touch your heart. And tonight, as you've listened to the message, you've been hearing the word of salvation that's been sent to sinners. And the great question is, what will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? Let us pray. O God in heaven, we earnestly beseech thee that thou wilt cause the divine truth of Scripture in the hand of the Spirit to find its mark in the souls of some that hear it tonight in this meeting. We thank thee for granting to mankind another day of opportunity. The day is of more value than all the gold of the treasures of earth, that God in great patience again has offered the word of salvation to dying men. We pray that there are some here tonight who will take thee at thy word, recognize their need and their sin, and flee to the Lord Jesus, the only one proclaimed of God, capable with authority and power and sufficient in his work to save the sinner that they might be forgiven. We ask thy blessing to this end tonight as we thank thee for thy love, and thank thee for thy Son, in his precious name. Amen.